Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
We are back.
Saturday. Welcome to Becoming Eva. We're talking about surviving the holidays.
Yes, facts on facts. The holidays are a lot. They can be a lot. And it's a joyful time. It's a fun time, prayerfully. But then also, we have a lot of other things that can kind of creep in, like stress and depression and loneliness and, you know, even grief, you know, especially now that, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of people have lost loved ones to COVID. And so this may be their first holiday without a loved one. And so we just kind of want to run the gamut of the highs and lows that come with the holidays and hopefully give you a couple tips and tricks on how to, you know, make it a great Thanksgiving, a great Christmas, and a happy new year for real. Okay.
Yes.
So, but first,
I had a great week. Let me tell you about my
go ahead.
My golden child, Mason. Let me tell you about Mr. Mason this week. He is the one and only child that said mama before dada.
So,
you know, I've been on cloud nine.
I do.
He said mama. And then yesterday, Ryan was like, say dada. You know what Mason did? He shook his head. No.
Oh.
It said, mama.
Why you gotta play Ryan like that, though? Why he gotta play Ryan like that? That's a mess.
Oh,
that's a mess.
How was your week?
Oh, my gosh. I'm reeling off of that. I'm going to pray for Ryan because I know how much he was looking forward to this boy. He's going to come around eventually. He is. But in the meanwhile, take it all in, Toya. Take it all in.
I am, for real.
Wow. But I will say my week was good as well. It was busy, but it was good. Like just really sensing God's grace, you know, on my job and just regarding my health and other endeavors that, you know, my husband and I are working on. I really have just sensed his hand, like, I got you. And I feel like probably these last 2 months have been looking from the outside in, maybe deemed overwhelming or taxing or busy even, but I feel like God has kind of used it as an opportunity to just move me out the way and be like, I got this. And at the end of the day, you can't give credit to nobody else but me. So I'm like, okay, God, I think I kind of see what you're doing, although I may not understand fully or may not even like it all the time, but I think I'm starting to get it. And so, yeah, it's been good though. Really good. Thank you for asking.
Right. So this week on Married at First Sight, today or this week was decision day. So if you don't know anything about this show, basically the premise of the show is that these group of experts match couples together based on a bunch of questions that they fill out. And so they match them together and they don't meet each other until the wedding day. They get married. And they have 8 weeks that they go on a honeymoon. They live together for 8 weeks. And then at the end of 8 weeks, they decide whether to stay married or get a divorce. And so I had some predictions.
Okay.
I know like a bunch of people that love watching this show. Like I was really getting into it this season. So the first couple, Gil and Myrna, Gil, you know, he was kind of more like a simple guy, and Myrna was definitely high maintenance. You know, she made a lot of money, had savings, she liked to spend a lot of money. And so Gil, you know, he was a little hesitant about, you know, her spending habits and things like that, but they decided to stay married. So I made that prediction. She was kind of like conservative at first. She's like, you can kiss my cheek. Like, I don't know you yet. Like, and you know, Gil was letting her know, you got to give me a little something of it, or we going to get a divorce.
It's called married.
Yeah. Right.
We got to consummate.
at some point, but they ended up consummating, they said like 2 weeks before decision day. Wow. So they ended up staying married. Bao and Johnny, this was the Asian couple. First off, Johnny was completely mean to Bao throughout the entire 8 weeks almost. Hey. And she kept like trying and staying with him. So on decision day, Johnny's like, he wants to stay married. And I was like, what?
Why?
You were so mean to Bao. And Bao was like, it's a little too late. I was like, good for you. So she,
all right.
They got divorced.
Okay.
Brett and Ryan, that was a week before decision day. Ryan decides to get on a dating app, and Brett's friend screenshots him on the dating app and sends it to Brett, and she's like, dude, you couldn't wait a whole week? So exactly. I really think that Ryan just didn't find her attracted to him. Yeah. Not his type. So they ended up getting a divorce. I knew that one was coming. Now Michaela and Zach, that was the black couple. I don't know if you saw any little clips, but you know, Michaela, she was a little crazy.
Oh no.
She kept having like adult temper tantrums is what I call them, like getting like explosive anger like issues and like knocking furniture out of the way, like crazy stuff. And so Zach was like, you look But they had consummated the marriage the first night they got married. Mm-hmm. And Zach was, you know, totally in awe of the bedroom because he kept saying, well, I mean, are you going to spend the night? Can you spend the night? Like, even though they kept getting into all these like heated arguments.
Yeah.
But on decision day, he's like a man that doesn't know what he wants, but he starts talking about how, oh, like, you're the best woman that I've ever met, like second to my mom, and I love this woman, and she's, you know, yada yada yada. And so Michaela says she wants to stay married and keep like working on herself. And then after he says all that, he was like, yeah, I want a divorce. I was like, what? So the experts were like, I'm so confused, because he was trying to say like he wanted to divorce her, but he wanted to continue to hang out and see and see what this relationship would grow into.
See this face.
Yeah, right. It sounded like he wanted his cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Not the most. Then
the last couple, Rachel and Jose. Jose had like a little temper, little anger issues. They got into an argument one night. Apparently Rachel called Jose somebody else's name, and so they got into an argument, and she like left the apartment, and he locked her out of the apartment, like deadbolt locked her out. And so she ended up calling like an ex-boyfriend or something, because he would not let her in the apartment. So they had a big blowout. And when they were arguing, like he was calling her out her name, just like all kinds of crazy stuff. And I was like, if he's doing that on camera, like what, how is he gonna act when the cameras are off?
Exactly.
But they ended up like reconciling, and he asked for forgiveness, you know, yada yada yada. And they decided to stay married. I was a little shocked by that one.
I'm a little scared about that one, quite honestly. Yeah. I don't want them to end up in the news later. Like, really. Right. Yikes. Right.
That's what's trending. Next week, they're doing like the reunion. So see. We'll see like if people are still like happily married or on their way to getting divorced.
You a good one. I don't know. I just get mad just listening to the title. I'm like, married at first sight. Like, who in the world? But it is some great drama for you. So keep us posted, please, on that reunion, please.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I was gonna say, honestly, we could jump into our topic. Are you ready to jump on in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So holidays are coming up. And first and foremost, let's talk a little bit about stress. I mean, as much as we don't want to admit it, or some people do want to admit it, the holiday season can be really stressful. And that's like, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have kids or not, because you're trying to figure out where you're going to go, who you're going to spend the holidays with, how you're going to get there. And then of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So you're trying to figure out, okay, is it safe? Do I feel comfortable? What are the extra precautions I need to take? And then depending on where you're going, people may have protocols like, are you vaccinated? Are you going to wear a mask? Like all kinds of stuff. So let's talk about the stress of the holidays. Like, first of all, are you sensing any stress, Toya? I mean, I know you got the big family, you got the new little one. Like, what are y'all planning for the holidays and how are you feeling about everything?
So for Thanksgiving, we're keeping it low key. We're mm-hmm. just going to spend Thanksgiving with Ryan's mom, so my mm-hmm. mother-in-law, and my sister-in-law and her family. And Thanksgiving is usually like low stress.
Okay, good.
I kind of like Thanksgiving. It's just like a, mm-hmm. you know, fun day. I don't mm-hmm. usually have to cook. Thank God. Praise the Lord for that one. I don't usually have to cook. But I mean, I know how to cook some Thanksgiving food if I had to. But thankfully, I have not really had to do a whole lot of like Thanksgiving preparations because I'm usually going to his house, his mom's house, or we travel to Missouri, but we're not traveling this year. Christmas is a little bit more stressful for okay. us, definitely more stressful because there's so many expectations from our little ones. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got four now, so
yeah.
Everybody's got a little Christmas list and you know what I want and
you checking it twice like
yes and you know we hold it over their heads, you know, like are you acting up, you know, Christmas is right around the corner.
Now, do y'all do any type of limits as far as the number of items on the list or like, I mean, they may be too young for you to be like, okay, we're staying under a certain amount, but do you do any type of, set any type of expectations regarding that?
So this year I'm being a little bit more stern. Okay. Normally last year, we just made sure that they all had the same amount of gifts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, it could be, okay, well, if she, and then they rack up gifts from like other people too.
Yeah.
So I just try to keep a tally of, okay, this one's getting this, getting mm-hmm. that, this one's getting this. Okay, this one has four gifts and this mm-hmm. one has three. I need to get her something else. Or, you know, yeah. I try to even it out.
Gotcha.
So that on Christmas Day, you know, they're like, not one person's got like a whole tower of gifts and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, the other ones have like a small amount. So I try to even it out, mm-hmm. from gifts from me. Now, godparents, may send mm-hmm. like one gifts and not the other. So sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, it does get a little uneven, but yeah. I don't think they really notice that because they share all of their toys anyway. Aww. So it's not like really a huge deal, but like if yeah. I get like them some outfits or something, I might like make it into like two gifts so they have, you know, another gift to open. But
there you go. No, that's real. I was gonna say some parents will take, like, if their kids have excessive birthday gifts or things like that, they may tuck some of those away until the holidays or later on in the year, because number one, the kid don't notice it or they're not going to play with it right away. And it's like, depending on that age, you kind of figure out, you know, when you can do get away with stuff like that and when you can't. But there is nothing wrong with that at all. And
yeah.
I always tell people, take advantage of those younger ages, especially when kids are like, oh, I like the wrapping paper more than the gift, or I like the box more than the gift. I'm like, don't go broke for the kids. You get what they need, you know,
yes.
and they'll be just as happy because you'll have plenty of time when they're like, I want the newest this and I want the most expensive that, you know, you have plenty of time for that. So take advantage yes. of those times when they like, you know, I'm gonna play with this paper in this box.
Right. So this year I said, you can pick two things, put only two things on the list. And I gave them a little book and I was like, you can circle two items.
Aww,
just two.
Yeah.
And so I plan to give them two that they want. Mm-hmm. One item that they need, mm-hmm. And then like a book, something yeah. like educational. Yeah. But still, I know like grandparents are going to send gifts and, you know, aunties, uncles, godparents. So yeah. they already have like more than enough. I'm not going broke mm-hmm. trying to give them stuff. I mean, I think it's more fun to do like the traditions that we've set in place. Like we have like our Christmas cookies and decorating the Christmas tree mm-hmm. and watching Christmas movies. And mm-hmm. then we do our PJs. Like I'll give them, oh yeah, that's another gift. I do give them like a PJs the night before Christmas. Like I let them open up one gift, but I mean, eventually they'll figure out it's PJs like that you wear tomorrow, you know?
I love it. I love it.
Like, you know, and then we have our annual junk food party, which is usually a couple days before Christmas.
That's fun.
Yeah. And we just, we decorate gingerbread houses and mm-hmm. ornaments. And this year we're going to incorporate some arts, like with Viola playing the piano and mm-hmm. Layla dancing, getting the other kids to sing or do like some type of performance or whatever. Yeah. And then we have like adult games, and it's just like mm-hmm. chill and junk food and just a lot of fun. So
that's good.
I think I like the things that we do mm-hmm. Versus like the gifts.
Yeah, that's what makes the holidays. Yeah, being with your family and being with your friends. You know, we initially started, especially once we got our house, the plan was to alternate and host Thanksgiving like every other year. So we hosted our first Thanksgiving here in the house, and I absolutely loved it. It was just so great having a full house and having my aunts and uncles here and cousins, and, you know, my husband's family was here, and us just all just kicking back, eating good food and having a good time. Like, I was so sad to see everybody go. And then of course COVID hit. So we were like, okay, everybody back to your corners, you know, but we're planning to start that up hopefully next year. So, but we've honestly, for Thanksgiving in particular, use it to really lay pretty low, very similar to what you were saying, where we eat good food and we kick back and relax. And we really try to treat that as a relaxing extended weekend in preparation for Christmas. I mean, we'll usually spend some time decorating the house for Christmas around that time. That may be kind of like our only busy thing, but you know, and I cook every year, honestly, whether we're going somewhere or not, just because my husband's like, well, I want you to make so-and-so and what are we going to have at the house and both. So I have to train myself though, to not cook for an army all the time. Cause you know how you cook, like you cooking for everybody when it really is just like 3-4 people. So I have to remind myself in that regard and just kind of pull back, you know, when we don't have a full house. But yeah, Thanksgiving is definitely more chill. And Christmas, quite honestly, has been somewhat chill too over the past couple of years. But the traditions is where we really tried to lean in, you know, for us especially, we're like, this is our family, this is our unit, let's start to make our own traditions. And so we've really tried to be really intentional about that, like celebrating Advent. You know, I really am blessed when I have the opportunity to take time to reflect and to focus on what the time of year really is about, which is about God coming and dwelling amongst us, you know? So we've incorporated devotionals just about the birth of Jesus and what does that mean and how's that reflected in our lives. We do movies. We do one Christmas movie every weekend between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And for us, it could be any Christmas movie. It doesn't have to be a traditional Christmas movie. Like one weekend we watched Die Hard because it took place around Christmas and we love action. So, you know, it could be A Christmas Story or whatever, Charlie Brown Christmas, but whatever we're in the mood in, because we really want to be intentional about not letting this time of year pass us by. I think so many times we get caught up in just going, shopping, 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 you know, being busy. And then you look up and you're like, it's the new year. And you're like, number one, did I rest? Number two, did I enjoy myself? You know, Or was I just running around like a chicken with my head cut off? And now I'm headed into the new year more wound up than I was before. So the traditions, you really hit the nail on the head. Us trying to be intentional with that has been important for us this year. We did our first family picture last year where we actually just took a photo shoot and we sent it to everybody, you know? So really trying to be intentional about those added touches, because this is what the time of year is about. And I don't want it to just pass us by and we look up like, oh, what happened? Was I present? You know? Right. So really important. So let's talk a little bit about loneliness or depression, you know, those that may not be able to get to their families, or those that may be like, gosh, okay, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. I don't feel like feel comfortable going anywhere. You know, I'm doing another low-key holiday and it may be me, myself and I, or maybe doing a Friendsgiving or something like that, but they may find themselves struggling with loneliness or depression if they're not able to get to their immediate family. Like, what are some, you know, some words of wisdom or some tips or tricks that we can give to people that may be struggling with that?
Yeah, I would definitely say to try to expand your village where you are. I remember before we had kids, we would even do Friendsgiving and all of our friends would get together, bring dishes for Thanksgiving, and we would have a Friendsgiving, you know, just expanding the village. So if you didn't have family in town or near and you weren't traveling, there was a place for you to go. So I would definitely definitely say expand your village. Do not be on an island isolated in your apartment or your house by yourself. Like, reach out to close friends. I'm sure there's someone willing to open up their house and their home to you. So do not be an island. So that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, your family is what you make it, you know? So if it's, and honestly, if you feel like, okay, nobody has invited me anywhere, then you invite someone, you know what I'm saying? You open up your home, you know, and say, hey, I'm cooking, feel free to come over, kick back, relax. It doesn't have to be anything grand, but, you know, show yourself friendly if you don't feel like anyone else is showing themselves friendly, and you will be surprised. And then the other thing I would say too, is this is a great time of year to serve. I know I have been trying to be more and more intentional about ways in which I can serve people during this time of year. If it is donating food to families that are in need, or delivering meals to the elderly or the sick and shut in, designating time to give up yourself usually makes you feel better in the process. And so that's also a great way to deal with, you know, if you find yourself feeling lonely or just a little down, and it's like you're struggling to kind of get into the season, get into the holiday feel.
Yes. And I would say I definitely make my kids give back too. Around this time of year, we get a box together and I make them fill the box with toys that they would like to donate and give away, and I make them fill it up. I'm like, you have Christmas coming around the corner. You guys have more than enough. Like, you don't even play with half of these things anyway. And I just don't want them to get so, you know, materialistic and just understand the importance of giving stuff away.
Yeah.
Because they have more than enough.
Absolutely. And I personally, as you know, as I have grown older, have really found that I get more excited about seeing how people respond to the gifts that I give versus concerned with what I'm going to get. Like, you know, I really try to be more intentional with getting people things that I know that they want or that they'll enjoy. And just the look on people's faces when it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you remembered that, or I can't believe you thought of that, or whatever. Like, to me, that gives me more joy at times than what I received. And so it really helps make that shift as well, you know? So it's awesome that you're starting that early, Toya. That's great.
Yeah. And I would say to help kind of simplify your holidays, we've been doing another tradition called Elfster, where we set a limit to $50, and this is for the adults because you know, we know the kids are going to get gifts, but this is so that we're not breaking the bank trying to get everybody something. So with Elfster, we set the limit at 50. You put a list of things that you may want. It could even just be like, oh, give me a gift card from Macy's, or if you have like something in mind, you just add it to the list. And then once we're ready to draw names, you just click a button and Elster like draws names for you, and then you just buy a gift for that one person versus trying to buy gifts for everybody. So that's something that we do as well, and that is definitely money saving for sure.
That's good. Now we do that with the adults in our family too, but the Elster app is a great recommendation to automate it. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else on how we can, you know, navigate stress, loneliness, or depression around the holidays?
Yeah. Just making sure you make time for yourself too, and not getting so wrapped up in, you know, the hustle and bustle and trying to buy different things. Just make some time for yourself. I know I'm trying to schedule time to go to a theater play with just some adults, you know, get some adult time in and just to relax and enjoy and just not just be so wrapped up in all the buying of gifts and, you know, all that stuff. Because it's just stuff. And, you know, they're not going to remember what they got when they were 5 years old for Christmas. And, you know, they're not going to remember that stuff. So just making time to like really enjoy the time of year, make time for yourself, do something fun, go to a play, go to a theater, something. I know one year I took the kids to see the Nutcracker and stuff like that. And I was like, that's a gift right there, because those tickets cost money.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, they do.
So yeah, just make time for yourself.
That's good. No, that's a great point. And I would tell people, don't be afraid to block time off on your calendar, you know, for days off, you know, clock out early if you have that luxury, but build in time in your schedule this time of year, especially because people are doing it, whether you're one of them or not. So you may as well be one of them. And of course, you know, exercise, you know, wisdom and discernment, and still make sure that you're, you know, above reproach in how you're doing stuff, but make sure you are intentional about taking time for yourself and slowing down. Like, do not let this time of year just pass you by, because if you get to January and you ain't done nothing for yourself, you're gonna be mad. That's all I'm gonna say. You're gonna be a Grinch after Christmas, for real. Make sure you do it. And you don't even have to have a plan when you do it. Just say, okay, guess what? I'm taking this Friday off. Or guess what? I am, you know, gonna buy tickets for it, this or that and the other. Or I'm gonna plan on this Saturday to not do anything at all, or only what I wanna do. Like, it doesn't have to be anything grand, like, oh, I bought these tickets and I'm flying out of town or whatever, because you're trying to prove that you need the time. Like, just take the time and use it however you please, like, for real. So very good point. All right, so shall we dive into, this is getting a little sticky, but unforgiveness and resentment. I find that the holidays can sometimes be triggering for that. And sometimes you may not even realize that you're harboring unforgiveness or that you're harboring resentment until you run into somebody at the family dinner, or somebody's name pops up on your phone and you feel in some type of way, or you get a Christmas card in the mail and you like, ugh. You know, like, really, it could be just different things that may trigger those ugly emotions that we don't always want to admit. So I will say, first and foremost, have you ever experienced that?
I have. And I think it's kind of related to like the whole daddy issues, the topic that we talked about a few weeks ago. But since he wasn't really a part of my life growing up as a child, I know that my parents struggled financially to take care of all of us. And I was one of those kids that would kind of go with the flow. Like, I knew my parents were struggling. I wasn't going to ask for like an expensive gift. I was like, you know, you can give me whatever. I was very like easygoing. But sometimes I would feel a certain way. Like, I remember talking to him on the phone as a kid and telling him my different sizes. And, you know, he was telling us he was going to like send stuff. And then weeks would go by and we wouldn't get anything. And I just know that it, as a kid, when you're in that world and you're looking forward to different things and, you know, kind of get a little disappointed. That sometimes comes up in the back of my mind. And I think about that with my kids, like, you know, I want to make sure that I'm there for them and that we're there for them. And, you know, we get them a couple of things that they want because it's important to them in this stage of life that they're in. But sometimes I do have to keep that in check. Now that I'm trying to reconcile the relationship with him, just not trying to hold on to grudges and harbor those ill feelings that I have or had about him.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say for me, at times I may find myself struggling with resentment or even comparing myself to others, especially when Christmas cards come in and, you know, everybody sends the cute pictures of their families and their children and everything. And I think for the longest time, I felt like I had to be at a certain place or my family had to be at a certain place or a certain size in order to be a part of that, if you will. And like, I've really just had to remind myself that our family is our family and we celebrate our family, you know, just like any other family. And so really honing in and giving myself permission to celebrate our family now as it is without waiting for a child or waiting even in some cases for a house or waiting for this huge accomplishment to be like, hey, look what we did. It's like, no, this is our family and we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, you know, and I can celebrate your family just like I celebrate my family. So really, I would say coming to a place where I felt free enough to do that. And then I have found that as I have given myself permission to celebrate our family as it is, it has made me much more open and accepting to celebrating other people's families as they are, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
And I love those Christmas cards that you sent last year too with you and
Chris.
So celebrate.
Girl, celebrate now. Do not wait for perfect conditions because they may never come. You celebrate today. Wow, because today's all we have. It is all we have, you know. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. So that for me has been a big thing. And trying to think if I have struggled, I mean, maybe in the past, but unforgiveness can definitely creep up. And so I would just say, really be sensitive when those emotions come up, you know, don't try to sweep them under the rug or to ignore them because they will find their way back to the surface. And it could be at an even more inopportune time. But I would say for me, when I notice feelings like that coming up, sometimes I just have to step back and journal and really talk to God and say, why am I feeling this way? If I can't put my finger on it, I may be feeling some type of way and I'm trying to figure out, okay, why do I feel that type of way? And so really taking time to be still, to ask a God to write it out and see what comes to the surface and not be afraid of what comes to the surface. And, you know, based on what God reveals, it may require a phone call or it may require you actually writing out a letter and actively forgiving that person for based on whatever is identified. Because at the end of the day, you want to be free and clear. Like you want to be whole. You don't want to be bound, especially this time of year. I mean, we're celebrating, you know, the birth of the Savior who came to make us free. So why not walk in it? But right. I would just say, don't shy away from those feelings when they come up. Like really ask God to reveal to you if you don't know. Sometimes you may know, okay, this is why I feel this way. And you just need to choose to deal with it in that moment, you know. And again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, seeking a third party if you need to look at a therapist or a counselor or, you know, or just a sounding board, someone that you could talk to. But I would encourage you to try to address those emotions, to take, to build in the time to address those emotions as they come up. Because if you ignore them or sweep them under the rug, you know, that's how you get those, you know, those dinner party, those famous dinner scenes where people yelling at each other over the table or walking out of the room. That's how you get those types of scenes, because you didn't take the time initially to deal with it up front, you know, and that can be hard. It's definitely uncomfortable. I will be the first, second, and third person to tell you that. But at the same time, it's very freeing. It's very liberating once you have done it. And I always tell people, forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. So don't expect this grandiose, oh, I'm so glad you came to me and now we're going to be best friends. You know, that may or may not happen, but at the same time, you know, it's for you so that you can be set free. And so that your relationship with God, you know, that line of communication can be open and free, because God is like, okay, until you let that go, I'm a have to, you know, put some stuff on pause. Like,
right.
You know,
right. I definitely can relate. I definitely think if you don't figure out how to confront those feelings and deal with it, it can definitely create a hardened heart toward that person. Absolutely. And can create anxiety and stress when you have to interact and be near that person. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to address unforgiveness and resentment for sure. And like, I know I've shared with Becoming Eva before, but for me, I had to write a letter and then like meet with him afterwards. Mm-hmm. And really discuss my concerns and issues and, you know, my unforgiveness that I had down on the inside that I didn't even realize was still there when I thought I had let it go, but it was still there.
And it may not be easy. It may not be comfortable, but it is definitely necessary. So I commend you. I definitely commend you for taking that step. That's huge. Huge. Anything else on unforgiveness and resentment that you can think of, how to navigate those emotions, especially this time of year?
Now, let's move on to grief.
Yeah, grief and loss, I will say. And first of all, what I am as I you know, grow in years and experience, is that grief is not always attached to losing a person. It could be losing an ideal or an expectation or a plan that you thought things were going to go a certain way, or a job or whatever. Like, grief could be associated with loss of anyone or anything. So we'll talk about both. But for me, the topic of grief is very near and dear to my heart, especially around the holidays, because I have lost pretty much all of my immediate family that I grew up with. Both of my parents passed away within 2 years of each other. And then my sister passed away shortly thereafter. And so, thankfully, I grew up with a very close extended family, like my aunts and uncles. You know, we've had years where we all may have lived in the same house together, or my cousins. So at least on my mom's side. So on my mom's side, my aunts and uncles have really kind of stepped to the plate, like, and stepped in as my parents, as my second set of parents. And then my cousins are very much like siblings to me. And so all that to say, I'm grateful for them, but I've had to do a lot of work as it relates to the grieving process. And I'm a type A personality, so I like to plan things out. So, you know, when I first lost my parents in particular, and I'll start with my mom, because I was closest to my mom. I, you know, always wanted like my time of breaking down, if you will, or crying or whatever, to be like during my quiet time or when I wasn't in public. And God was like, you don't have any control over this process. Like, you have none whatsoever. And what you'll find is you'll experience different triggers, you know? And so for me, it could have been watching a commercial or walking in the grocery store, and you may see something or remember something that makes you think of that person, and how you respond in that moment, you may not have full control over. Like, you may become very emotional. And so I had to give myself grace and space for those moments as well. And it's very, for me, it was very uncomfortable and embarrassing, because I like to be put together. I like to be in control, and I like to, you know, plan and know how things are going to play out. And God was like, you can't do that here. And so I've had to learn to do that. And for me, the holidays tend to be very hard for me, you know, without having my parents here physically with me. And so I've had to learn to kind of reinvent how I celebrate the holidays, you know. And some cases it may look like doing nothing that I have done in the past. Like I think the first year that my mother passed away, after her passing, I was planning to go to Hawaii. I was like, I just need like a vacay. I just need a change of venue, you know. I didn't, I think I ended up going to Puerto Rico or something like that following year or something. But for me, travel, just change of venue, was something that I needed, because anything that resembled what we used to do was a trigger for me because my mother was no longer physically there. And then it kind of transitioned into, okay, you know, what are some things, what are some ways or some things that you can do to celebrate her legacy? And so, you know, there are certain things that I would do that we may have done in the past, but I would do it, my perspective shifted where I was like, this is to celebrate her. So cooking for me became a really big source of comfort because I would recreate a lot of her meals, and that made me feel closer to her. So that was something. And then now, as I had mentioned earlier, we're in a season where we're creating our own traditions, and it may include some things we did in the past or it may not, but really giving myself the freedom to spend the holidays in a way that was comfortable for me and that helped me to process my grief. I didn't want to be boxed into what I had always done, and I certainly didn't want to be boxed into anyone else's expectations. So I would just encourage you, if you find yourself, you know, experiencing the holidays for the first time without a very special loved one, to give yourself grace. And know that it's okay to, you know, this is going to be a different kind of year for you. It's going to be a different kind of holiday season for you, but there are ways that you can still celebrate the holidays and still celebrate the legacy of that person. And it doesn't have to be anything super traditional, you know. Think about what that person enjoyed doing, and maybe you want to do that, or, you know, maybe you want to continue to do things that you all used to do together, whatever makes you feel comfortable in that moment, or maybe something completely left field where you like, I'm going to the circus. I don't know. But whatever it is that makes you feel comfortable in that moment and helps you to process grief, because the important thing about grief, like we were talking about with unforgiveness and resentment, is you got to process those emotions. You can't stifle them. You can't sweep them under the rug, because they'll play themselves out in other ways. And so whatever you need to do in order to process them in a healthy way, but I highly recommend that, because grieving during the holidays can be hard. It really can be. And you just want to make sure that you have some things in place so that, you know, you don't find yourself just a ball of tears come Thanksgiving or come Christmas, you know, but really think about how you can celebrate that person's legacy in a healthy way.
Yes, those are great tips, Maya. I'll say for me, when we lost our father-in-law, when he had his fall or his accident, that happened in the month of December. And so I know it's hard for Ryan when that day comes around. And then when I remember back to that year, I know we waited a while before we got our Christmas tree that year, because, you know, we were dealing with so much stress. We went and grabbed one, but it was still hard for him to like really celebrate, you know, that year. And then his birthday, is January the 1st. Yeah. And so we always have like a special dinner for his birthday, for his heavenly birthday.
That's awesome. Where
we get food that he used to love to eat and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we celebrate that way. But I think that's an important tip, to do something to remember the person that you have lost.
Yes. And I always encourage people, like, you are their legacy. You are an extension of that person. So, you know, find a way to honor them, because they live through you. They live through you now.
Right.
That is beautiful. Any resources or any tips that you would share regarding grief or loss?
Just finding healthy ways to cope with your grief. Mm-hmm. Definitely facing your feelings. If you need to talk to a therapist or a counselor, mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. Find ways to express your gift, maybe through a creative way like art. There's something called music therapy. This past week, my job had kind of like a self-care day when we had our in-person meeting. And so I had never really heard of music therapy, but they had music therapy going on. They had canvas painting, yoga, hiking, all kinds of different events and activities that you were able to do for your self-care time. I chose painting, but just find a creative way to express your gift. Music therapy, I didn't go to that one, but that sounded interesting. So check out maybe some music therapy, and just structure your time and your day to maybe keep busy so you're kind of distracted from concentrating on that grief and really thinking about it. And maybe some grief therapy. Mm-hmm. Those are some tips.
Yeah, there are some great grief support groups out there. Definitely finding people that you can connect with that may have experienced loss as well, because grief to me is still one of those taboo topics where not everybody either knows how to respond when someone has lost someone, or they may find it challenging to talk about. So oftentimes you may have to find someone that has gone through a similar situation and that is open to talking about it. Because other times, you know, some people just don't necessarily know what to say, and don't knock people that don't know what to say either. Cause it's awkward. It's awkward when people lose somebody, you know, sometimes they just don't know what to say or what to do. So they don't do anything, or they don't say anything, and they act like it didn't happen. So don't hold that against people, but find someone that you can talk to that can relate and may have gone through something similar, that feels comfortable talking about it, because you want to make sure you have those outlets as well. And grief support groups are an excellent suggestion for that. I'll reiterate it probably during our, we can kind of talk about our top picks, but my top pick was actually going to be Grief Share, which is, they have several different resources. They have books, they have support groups, they have daily emails. I know some people like to, I won't say like to, but may not feel comfortable being in the group setting just yet, but they still need to process. And so literally you can go to GriefShare, I think it's .org, not com, but GriefShare.org, and just sign up for their daily emails. And you'll get one email every day for an entire year. And they talk about everything from the practical stuff, you know, if you're having, you know, to deal with getting that person's estate together and who, you know, figuring out, you know, how to disseminate all of that, to the emotional stuff, to the spiritual stuff. But you literally will get one email every day for the next year that runs the gamut of everything that comes with losing a loved one. So I always recommend Grief Share. And then of course they have other resources. If you do want the grief support group that we were talking about, where you can be around other people that have had similar experiences and just have an outlet to talk about your feelings and your emotions and process through them that way. And then also books, curriculums, devotionals, things of that nature, because you want to make sure that you're addressing it, that you're not stifling it, that you're not trying to push through it. I can't emphasize that enough, especially in the Black community and, you know, Black women in general. I feel like we just like take a licking and keep on taking, like we just push through so many different things, but we find later that it manifests itself, you know, in our bodies and our health and in our minds. And, you know, and it's really important that we take time to process through this stuff, because it will show up. If we don't process it, it's not going anywhere. And we can act like it is, but it's not. It's really not.
Right. So. Yeah. And if you don't embrace the grieving process, I definitely think it can lead to depression and suicidal thoughts. It can lead to anger. It can lead to substance abuse, drugs, alcohol. So you definitely need to find healthy ways to cope with the grief.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else we have for grief and loss, navigating grief and loss during the holidays? Well, I kind of kicked it off with some top picks, but you have any other top picks you want to share?
I'm gonna give myself a plug in this category. My first book, The One Who Was Worse. I had lost my ex-boyfriend in a car accident. We had been dating for about 4 years, and we had a really terrible breakup. And then about a month later, he was killed in a car accident. So I really, really struggled with grief during that time period in my life, because after 4 years, you have ideas of marriage and kids. He had gotten close to my family. I had gotten close to his family. So we were very much connected in each other's worlds. So the breakup was difficult because, you know, we had to, I had to navigate through those emotions of grieving the loss of him, grieving the loss of his family. And I was basically here in Georgia by myself. So I didn't really have a lot of people that I could really lean on for support. And so I started journaling, and my journal eventually became a book, and it was called The One Who Restores, which kind of journeyed my grieving process from the day that we met to the accident and what led to the breakup, and then how I was able to navigate through those different seasons in my life, because it was definitely hard because, you know, we had spent time together during the holidays. And, you know, I would think about that when those times of years would come up. And like I said, I was here by myself and I didn't have family. So I was really leaning on God and learning the ways in which God was uniquely speaking to me during that time. And then the restoration part of it, with me meeting Ryan and that journey and that story of how everything kind of came full circle. So that's my plug for my top pick.
Girl, you better plug it now. Tell people where they can find it.
Yes, The One Who Restores, you can find on Amazon, on my website at Kashan Books. That's my publishing website. So yeah, there's multiple ways that you can purchase the book.
Yes, good stuff. Thank you for sharing that. Any other top picks that you can think of? Anything good you watching or reading or, you know, listening to?
No, that's it for me this week. You know, my kiddos have been keeping me busy and on my toes, so not a lot of time to really watch TV and do all that other stuff. I'm just trying to get to the break on Friday.
Hold on, girl. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. All right. So in the meanwhile, you want to share our BE challenge for the week?
Yeah. You didn't have another top pick that you wanted to share?
Oh, you know what? I will say, on a lighter note, I did watch the Harder They Fall last weekend, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. Okay. So I know we were talking a little bit about that with last week's guest, and she was like, I'm about to kick back and watch it. And I was like, I think I might too. So we watched that last weekend and really enjoyed it.
I want to check that out. And I want to check out this new movie on Netflix called, I think it's called Passing, where I think it's about it's set in the 1920s. It's a black girl, I guess, trying to pass as white. And I think it's based on a true story. So I'm going to check that out this weekend. It's called Passing.
Ooh, I feel like I've heard of that before. Like, was it on another platform before Netflix?
No, I think it just came out like yesterday, I think, or Thursday or something.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, but yes.
It's okay, in the top 10 for this week. Check it out.
Good stuff. All right, good people. Well, let's get into the BE challenge.
So the BE challenge is to identify and implement one of the tips discussed on how to address loneliness, depression, unforgiveness, resentment or grief and loss, something that we mentioned on today's episode. Don't forget to give us your topic suggestions at Becoming Even Today. Next week is our season 3 finale. We're going to have a couple of guests. It's going to be a girl talk panel. Yes. So you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be fun. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Becoming Even Today.
Yes, we will see y'all soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.